How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. A lot of stuff to talk about here today. We'll try to get into some of the news that we didn't get into yesterday because all everybody wanted to talk about was Randy Orton burning down Bray Wyatt's house. But we do have news. We can talk about George St. Pierre, his return to face Michael Bisping for the championship. Impact Wrestling has a new home in the UK, which is very interesting for a lot of different reasons. We got SmackDown ratings. Jack Swagger has requested his release from WWE, claims it has been granted, but it is not official yet. We'll tell you why. It's not really much of a story. They release everybody on Friday, so I think that the official release of Jack Swagger is coming tomorrow, so we can get that one out of the way. We'll take your phone calls, emails, text messages, and more. Whatever's on your mind here today, we've got the Fastlane pay-per-view. If you would like to give us a call, the toll-free number 844-411-5411. Text messages to 425-780-7566. All of these numbers are up and available on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. I will go through the phone calls and the text messages and the tweets throughout today's show. In the second segment, we will be joined by Dave Meltzer, talking all sorts of topics, including whatever's going on in TNA, as well as the 2016 Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards. You're welcome to call throughout the show today, text, tweet, etc., about the awards. What are your thoughts? The largest voting pool ever for the awards. Some people are very angry about certain things. Other people in agreement. What's on your mind? Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Lots of stuff to talk about here today. Dave Meltzer joining us in the second segment of the show. Give us a call, email, text message, etc. Whatever is on your mind. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today, including the 2016 awards issue, I guess it would be. Last year's awards just came out. They are in the new issue of The Observer, which is up on the front page right now. Mike, anything really jump out to you in these awards?
Not really, other than it was the Conor McGregor show on the other side of the canvas, the non-pro wrestling side of the canvas. I guess it's all pro wrestling in a way now, isn't it? Everybody's getting paid to do some sort of grappling in some sort of way here, I guess. But, yeah, his name really stuck out in that he completely dominated the fields that he was put into, which include box office and best on interviews, best feud with Diaz. So all of which is completely deserved, in our words. So congratulations to Conor McGregor there. From there, I don't think any big surprises. There are things you can argue about, but I don't think there's too much you can really... You can debate it, but I don't know if you can argue about it too much. When it comes to Wrestler of the Year, it could have been one of a handful of guys. And I think that was the same for a bunch of the awards. But when it comes to Wrestler of the Year, which ended up being AJ Styles, just as safe a selection as if you would have taken Okada or Naito or Kenny Omega or any number of guys that you could have made a case for as well.
Looks like a lot of people want to talk, so let's go to the phones. You're on the air.
Hey, Adam. Hello, Mike. It's Brady.
What's going on? Call me Adam.
Yes.
I'm Brian. Go ahead.
Loved the two shows last night. They were wonderful. Just got done listening to them. Was following along with the Observer ballots as Dave was going through it. One thing that really stood out to me, it was one of the few things that, because it was a largely pedestrian ballot, everything kind of went as I thought it would, except Johnny Gargano got literally nothing on Most Improved. And I really thought he would have gotten down ballots below Riddle, going from just a guy in Dragon Gate and Evolve to becoming one of the best baby faces on the entire roster. So I was kind of disappointed in that, but other than that, it was a fun issue. Fun award show. Only other thing I guess that really jumped out was a lack of Roman Reigns and AJ Styles for best feud. because I actually had that as a third.
Well, everybody hates Roman Reigns as...
He did get a down ballot for best brawler, though.
That's right. Listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. Here's the thing with Johnny Gargano. Listen, I don't have time to watch a lot of Evolve. I've got all of the shows, all of the current day Raw, SmackDown, NXT. I was watching Lucha Underground, plus all of the older stuff, Retro Raw, Retro Nitro, Retro NWA. I don't have time to watch a lot of Evolve, but even I know that Johnny Gargano was awesome long before he got to NXT. I honestly, not for one second would I have thought, man, this guy needs to win Most Improved. He just had the opportunity to show how awesome he was on the big stage. So that one doesn't surprise me at all. I don't know.
I think that's probably how his fan base would probably kind of look at that, too. I could see, you know, that group voting for him as most underrated more than I could as most improved, and he didn't even rate there. And to show you the power of their popularity, I think, to a point, you know, Gargano and Ciampa got second for Feud of the Year, if I'm not mistaken, with Dash and with Dawson, and they were completely dominated in that feud for all intents and purposes. And realistically, I don't think it would have happened. Did they win the titles in the calendar year that is the Observer Awards? In fact, I don't even think they... Oh, so they did?
The double submission win. It was awesome. It was the best match.
I wasn't sure if it was November or not, which would have made it, you know, or December, which would have made it, you know, out of the ballot range there. But regardless, it doesn't matter. I can see them just continuing to grow as far as people, now that people have seen them in NXT. Because I get, like you said, there are a lot of people that have only seen them for the first time in NXT. So they're just going to continue to grow as the next couple of years roll on.
Caller, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, this is David from Pennsylvania once again. I noticed that this year's worst gimmick wear belonged to Bone Soldier, which used to be Captain New Japan. I'm just curious to know more information concerning Bone Soldier, because other than the fact that I just saw the Wikipedia article, I definitely noticed why he may have won worst gimmick. Other than the fact that he wears a bone mask and he wears a standard bear white T-shirt and black pants.
Well, listen, I'll tell you why he won. I'm not even... Listen, Bone Soldier is Captain New Japan, and he ended up in the Bullet Club. So that's the answer right there. I don't know what more there is to say.
Sucked as a member of New Japan as well, too, which is part of the gimmick. And obviously that was the gimmick with being Bone Soldier, too. He was there to take L's and to be a laughing stock. But, yeah, I mean, skill-wise, I guess I'd still rather watch him than I don't know, Darren Young or Elias Sampson or something like that. But
it's a terrible analogy. But let's imagine if there wasn't two NWO factions in the 90s. There was only the main event faction. Like, they didn't split into the black and white and the black and red and all of the other goofy factions they had. If there was only one main NWO faction and they were all stars, and then they added Vincent, he would have won worst.
Yeah,
I swear to God he would have. Now, granted, they would have had to put him in a new costume. I guess a better one would be if they would have taken Ed Leslie, Brutus Beefcake, and made him The Disciple, and put him in the NWO as an actual main event member with all of the other stars, then yeah, he would have absolutely won the worst gimmick. Guaranteed.
Yeah, and it's not like Bone Soldier's in main events or anything like that, but it's a character that people were tired of as a good guy, so when he gets the flip to be a bad guy, they don't like it anymore. In fact, they like it a lot less. And again, you know, on the list of guys, would I rather watch him on the first match of the card than, say, Mojo Rawley? Sure, I would, but he's also a much higher profile than a guy like Mojo Rawley, too, in the realm in which he operates, so... It is a bad gimmick, but there's a list of gimmicks there that are all bad, which is why people voted for them.
But I will say that Bone Soldier is an awesome name, so I'm kind of a little bit offended that it won. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air.
Hey, what up, Brian and Mike? Xavier from New York. How y'all doing today?
What's going on?
Good.
Well, I got two things I want to talk about. Well, maybe more. But so first off, with the prospects of the New Day hosting WrestleMania, I know that some of their segments could get long in the tooth and drag on if they had multiple spots. But I do think that the part when they have Hogan come out and they offer them the New Day ice cream, and they like automatically assume, okay, you want vanilla, right? And he goes, no, brother, I want chocolate. And the whole place goes crazy. I think it's going to be worth it for that spot alone.
I would laugh and say that's totally preposterous, but that's probably what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, and also here, I want like a bit of a clarification. In the Observer, it talks about how, where they would change annual contracts in TNA to per-show deals, but also as well as put them in the contracts that TNA would control the independent bookings and get 10% of the money of all independent money. So would that allow, and if you've seen the new TNA logo where it has like the Global Force green in it, would that allow Jarrett to book TNA stars on Global Force shows and get 10% of the money back? Because that seems like really sketchy to me.
Well, hey, let me ask Dave about that. I'll confirm because he's going to be on the show next. I'll find out. I mean, I presume that, yes, that's what that means, but Jarrett is not an owner of TNA right now. Jarrett sold all of his shares. And so if he books TNA talent and TNA gets 10%, that 10% isn't going to Jarrett.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
all right. Thank you guys for the time today. Have a nice day.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. I am so devastated to learn today that the TNA Impact logo, they got rid of the owl.
Aw.
I mean, come on.
What have they gone to?
And, you know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know what? Maybe they just need to change the name to Global Force Wrestling. Because as long as it's called TNA or Impact, I'm just going to presume that they're going to continue to make the stupidest decisions in the world. And then, when we talked with Dave about all the decisions they've been making, I think they need to stay Impact. Just keep it simple. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is joining us here today. Lots of stuff to talk about. Dave, what's going on?
You tell me.
How is the
stuff going on, especially with TNA tonight? So, yeah.
How's the feedback for the award so far?
I don't know. It's hard to say, really. I don't know. I haven't really seen a lot. I mean, I guess the people who would complain do, but I haven't seen it, and I couldn't really say. I mean, I've seen is, I guess, questions on McGregor winning Most Outstanding Fighter, and you know what I mean? I can get that because he lost, and you know, usually the guy who wins Most Outstanding Fighter doesn't lose, but he did win, you know, championships in two different divisions in the same, you know, year, considering the year thing starts December 1st. So that's pretty much an unbelievable thing that he did, and but he did lose also. So you know, I can see him winning, but I can see, you know, like I said last night, you know, Stipe Miocic or Rumble Johnson, you know, people like that. They dominated and destroyed people, you know, all year. So and didn't lose.
Seems like there's not a whole lot you can really, you can debate a lot of it, but it's hard to really argue too much of it when you look at the specific winners in each of the awards. Did anything surprise you? Did Conor McGregor's dominance, did any part of
not
anything...
Not Conor McGregor dominance, I figured that going in, on, not in the most outstanding category, but I did expect him to win that too. But, you know, like in the, you know, Beck's box office draw, I mean, it was kind of like, you know, I mean, everyone's got to vote for him, right? You know what I mean? There's nobody else. I mean, surprises? I don't know. I kind of, like, if I was going in beforehand and kind of picked, I'd gotten most of them, not all of them, but I'd gotten most of them right ahead of time. So, you know, I mean, in some placings, you know, of course, there's probably people, there's in probably every placing, there's probably people I thought maybe should have been higher or lower. But, I mean, as far as the ultimate winners, I mean, there's some that I would disagree with the winner, but was not really surprised. And again, in the disagreement wouldn't be major, you know? It's like, you know, there's just different ways of looking at things.
I do have to say that as far as most overrated goes, Roman Reigns winning, I mean, to me, Sexy Star was such an obvious winner of most overrated.
I couldn't argue that one.
I mean, I know people don't like the guy, but come on. I mean, really, it was like a year where they downgraded him anyway.
I think the whole thing with him is, I mean, he's really good,
and everything, but does he deserve the position that he's been given? And the answer is no, he really hasn't. So in that sense, he is overrated by the promotion, compared to his appeal level. I mean, on paper, it's like he's one of those things, you know, I mean, we kind of mentioned it like with Matt Morgan, too. You know what I mean? It's like on paper, when you put the attributes and theories on a piece of paper, they look really good. And Roman Reigns, obviously, a much bigger star than Matt Morgan, but in practice, they're not as over as... And that always happens. It's like he's really good-looking, and he's got a nice physique, and he wrestles pretty well, so therefore he should be a top star. Well, some people don't connect as good as others, you know, and there's no way of knowing it until you put him in that position. But he was put in that position, and he didn't connect as well as others, and he's still in that position. So in that sense, there is an argument for it. But, I mean, as far as... Yes, he has very good matches when he's in his main event matches. So, you know, in that sense, I would go like, not really overrated, but maybe in a position that somebody else should be in, or that they should be more open-minded about, you know, who could be in that position because he didn't work in that position.
You know, I was looking at the NXT television having fallen to such a degree, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but it's weird because it is... NXT is supposed to be, they claim it's a third brand, but it's developmental, and people have to get called up. I mean, the Drifter's getting called up. We're going to have more people getting called up after WrestleMania this year, but when you look at the run that show had for 3 years, and then you combine the people that called up at WrestleMania, the draft, they called up Finn Balor, American Alpha, Alexa, and then Bayley was a month later. I mean, that period right there, that gutted the television show, and they had to bring up some people from deep developmental, like your Authors of Pain and such. And I really think that was like the beginning of the end for the run of that TV show.
Ben and Ryan Ward moving to SmackDown. I don't think that can be underrated at all, especially considering, you know, how good SmackDown became. So, but yeah, that's you know, but that's in theory, that's what should happen every
year. It's got to happen.
In theory, every year the best guys in NXT should be moving up, and they should be gutted and then filled up with new things. And, you know, some years, you know what I mean? Like this year, if they get a whole bunch of guys from the indies that are really good and they, you know, maybe they'll have like a great year with talent. Right now, I mean, like if you look at the women's division, it's so much weaker than it's ever been. You know, even with the men's division, at the top, but you know, Nakamura and Bobby Roode have tremendous charisma in their spots, but you know, there's a lot more on the thing. There's a lot more, I'd say, average on the show than there's ever been. Sure.
I just look at this year. It's March, and you look at the television, the NXT TV right now, which it's fine. I mean, it's certainly not what it used to be. But if we presume that folks like, I mean, maybe Nakamura, Dash and Dawson, these guys getting called up after Mania. You look at the draft, they'll probably bring a few people up in the draft since they seem to do it every year.
Not that many. If you really
look, I know, that's my
point. I don't think they're going to bring...
What's this TV show going to be afterwards?
I think Rude's going to be there to be the anchor of the brand. So, but you know, if you look, I mean, who there, you know, it's like, you know, who there is ready. I mean, you could go like Andrade Cien Almas, but he'll get eaten alive on the main roster. So why, you know, I mean, and at some point, I guess you do have to bring him up. But it's not like it's, you know, I mean, yes, Nakamura is long, long, long overdue, and Dash and Dawson are ready, but I don't know how they'll do on the main roster. But they're certainly ready, and there's others, but there's not. It's not like last year when there was a lot more people ready than there, you know, at this point in time. On the women's side, I don't see any of them. You know, they may bring up Liv Morgan because she's really pretty, but she's really not ready.
All I know is if they would have brought up Andrade Cien Almas and had him replace Jinder Mahal as Rusev's partner, I think he could have done something with that.
Because they're handsome?
Yeah, they're two handsome men.
You can bring anybody up as a job guy. I mean, that you can do, but I don't know if that's...
I'll try and make him an actual team. I think if you got rid of Jinder and put Almas in there, you could make a team out of him.
Yeah, you probably could, but then... You know, Almas still, he's got a real charisma problem right now, which is funny because...
Yeah, you got to put him with Rusev.
Before, but he really does now.
I think Rusev could bring it out of him.
Yeah, but how long before they just decide, well, now they want Andrade to chase Lana, and then we're going to have that. I mean, as soon as they do it, they're going to already have eyes on splitting him apart, which is going to kill Cien Almas.
Well, it will, but at least do something with him at the beginning. So, the TNA story here... I guess the news today is Impact has got a new TV deal in the UK with Spike UK.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It sure is. You think they're getting back on Spike TV this year in the U.S.?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I mean, nah. I don't know. I talk to Spike people all the time, and there doesn't seem to be any interest in wrestling right now.
Dave, let me ask you.
If anything, they're moving away from that direction.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you. That move to Paramount, just because we it has been brought up in conversation the last couple of weeks on the show, just talking about other things. Have they given any indication on what their mentality is as far as we want to chase USA, we want to chase Lifetime, whatever it is, whoever number one is right now? Obviously, that's their mentality. Where does Ring Sports fit into that right now as it stands?
I mean, they want to keep the sports that they have. I don't know, you know, like the kickboxing is always a question because Kevin Kay loves kickboxing, and it really is good when you watch the kickboxing they have, but it just never has drawn an audience. I mean, Bellator, they own Bellator. I don't think Bellator's in any trouble at all. And the boxing is paid programming, so that's a matter of how, you know, PBC is a complete disaster, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But, yeah, I mean, they seem to be wanting to keep the sports they have and maybe even get more sports. You know, I mean,
how can they keep the kickboxing and not even have some semblance of interest? I mean, Impact, if you brought it on today, it'd probably do 1 million viewers.
It wouldn't do 1 million viewers. They were doing 1 million viewers a couple of years ago when they had a lot, and they were hovering right at 1 million when they were canceled, and they're a lot less popular now. I mean, they wouldn't do close to 1 million now. I think they'd be lucky to do 700,000, but I mean, they're on a station with almost as many viewers. I mean, almost as many homes as Spike, and they're doing under 3. You know, but I mean, Spike's higher profile, so I mean, I could see them being 5 or 6. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, granted, there were reasons they canceled, and it was different ownership and all that. But at the same time, it had been falling for years on the station. If the ratings had stayed at a certain level, they wouldn't have canceled it. They kept falling. And, there was a purpose for it, for helping get Bellator off and running. But, you know, I mean, I could still, you know, I mean, if I was Spike, I would have pushed really, really hard to get SmackDown. But it didn't, you know, they decided not to do that. And SmackDown could help them a lot.
The new issue of The Observer is up on the front page right now, everybody, if you want to check it out. The awards issue, all of the various categories. And also, big story, tonight's TNA. I guess it's going to be the beginning of the new era.
Beginning of the new era tonight, whatever that means, yes.
Sounds a lot like the old era.
The older era, not the recent era, but the era from 5 years ago? Yeah, probably. Yeah, you know what I mean? Or not five, maybe about 9 years ago now or 8 years ago. But yeah, I think that there'll be some similarities to that.
All right, everybody, we're out of time in this segment. I want to thank Dave, as always. Back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I want to point out here that you should never doubt me. Worst television announcer, number one, David Otunga.
Fools.
Number two, Matt Stryker. Number three, Byron Saxton. I tried to tell you that, Mike, but you refused to listen, as usual.
Hey, look, I'm not going to argue that...
Now you've been shamed.
I'm not going to argue that my man deserves a best announcer or anything like that, but I am a little bit surprised that either Otunga or his generational rival, Byron Saxton, deserve that award when Matt Stryker and Josh Matthews, per broadcast, take up far more oxygen than either one of those gentlemen, who admittedly add nothing to the presentations that they're on. But my God, Michael Cole, by the way, Michael Cole still getting votes for worst television announcer at
yes.
this point is
no, it's not.
Mean.
It's not obscene. It's just what it is.
34 number one pick. Which, you know,
yeah.
then again, I you know what?
There and I wasn't even one of them.
There's a lot of people that just watch Raw and SmackDown, which is why Raw gets votes for best show sometimes, because people
that is
don't
true.
Have...
Michael Cole is not worse than, for example, Matt Stryker. Matt
no.
Stryker should have run away with that award.
I mean, I like Vampiro in a lot of ways, but would Vampiro be your traditional wrestling announcer? You know, he's low on the list there, but...
Dude, he's a great color guy.
I guess so, yeah, but, you know, for him to get worst television announcer, I don't know. Is Vampiro worse than Michael Cole?
No, that's sad. He should not have gotten worst television announcer, and he didn't. All right, this person here says, Are you surprised at how well Stardom did in the awards? Io Shirai got more first place votes than Naito for most outstanding. Okay, two things. Number one, Stardom does have a streaming service now, so a decent portion of our readership has access and is watching Stardom. So it doesn't surprise me that you got votes. Now,
no.
Getting more than Naito. New Japan, in the most outstanding wrestler category, had Kenny Omega, Okada, Ishii, and Naito all splitting votes. Like, any one of those could have beaten AJ Styles. But it's mostly because you had Omega and Okada. Between the two of them, they had 249 and 172, almost 450 or whatever. 450 votes. AJ Styles had 341. So really, those two prevented each other from getting the number one spot. Mm-hmm. And you also had Ishii and Naito thrown in. And that's why Shirai had more first place votes than Naito. She wasn't splitting votes with four other women from Stardom in the top 10. That's why that happened.
I think the biggest insult with Stardom is the fact that Kari Hojo's elbow, the incredible elbow drop, one more time does not get enough votes to receive honorable mention status in the
There's
wrestling
too many good
category.
Moves in wrestling today, Mike. There's yeah, too many know, good moves.
It's always usually the either a big move that is making its debut or it's a really popular person doing one. And Kenny Omega's been doing the one-winged angel forever. And it is a very impressive move, especially when he does it on a man much larger than himself. But that ended up being the maneuver of the year, Kazuchika Okada, and then the Meltzer driver takes silver and bronze.
Prince says, I'm glad the masses agree. Otunga is the worst.
Well,
actually, Matt Stryker is worse, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Elias Sampson, why is he getting called up? Well,
somebody's got to take L's.
Do you know that the Drifter got a very, very serious knee injury last year?
It's true.
And had he not, he'd have been up for a year already.
Drafting.
And quite frankly, it's weird to say this, but I think he's lucky that he got a knee injury.
It's true.
Because if you look at what they did with all of the guys that they called up last year around the time that he would have been called up, he was better off on the shelf.
Apollo.
Maybe he'll get a much better chance this time around.
Probably
but
not.
The whole point of NXT is to get guys ready to be called up. That includes the Drifter.
And there are guys like the Drifter that, and this was the case of the Ascension. And Ascension, you know, had a little bit of a different run there, but at some point, they just got to see what you can do. And maybe you go up there, and maybe the main roster is somehow better for you with your character or whatever it is that NXT is. They don't know that. But at some point, with some of these guys, like an Elias or like a Drifter, I would assume, they're doing this because how much further can he go in NXT? And you need to know what you got, and then that's it. Does Ember Moon maybe belong up first? Maybe. Does Asuka? Definitely. Does Nakamura? Definitely. But you know what? That's how they do things. So it'll be interesting if Asuka gets called up and if Nakamura gets called up. What do you have there besides Bobby Roode and Liv Morgan, at least for right now? And like Dave said, the lure to pull Liv Morgan up to the main roster, especially if you're going to do a draft or some sort of wackiness with the rosters post-split, I mean, she just seems like she is made for Raw.
Show is. I've been talking about that for years, and no one's listened to me.
What about the other bronze statuette that's down there as well, too?
I talk about Mandy Rose?
Yes, tan blonde wonder, Mandy Rose.
Get with the program, Mike.
What about now? What's
her deal? Let me guess.
Then?
You can't tell Peyton Royce and
Billy Kay?
The other one apart. Ah! All right, listen.
But are you bringing her up, too?
They're gonna, yeah, of course. You crazy?
Bring up Liv and Mandy together.
No. Two totally different personalities.
Too much blonde?
There's never too much blonde, Mike. Are you kidding me? Get
sorry.
The hell out of here. This person says, is the rest of Season 4 Lucha Underground on Netflix? There isn't even a Season 4 yet. Season 3 is not going to be on Netflix yet. Season 3, they're in the middle of, and if you ordered it on iTunes, you just got to sit around until they start airing episodes again. There is no Season 4. There is no rest of Season 3. You just got to wait.
Man, Jorge here. The absolute worst announcer is the Pope. Way worse than Josh, but nobody watches Impact, so... And he trails off.
Person says Dash and Dawson got robbed again. Thank you, Dawson, for that text.
Hey, you can make the case for it, but
hey, listen, everybody. Okay, when the Young Bucks, like several years ago, the Young Bucks, they were like all flips and super kicks and all of this and that. They're a great tag team now. They are. They're a great tag team. There's this thing. Forget it.
What they're look, the Young Bucks are going out there.
Some people can't recognize. Like when people get better, or just get frustrated.
All right.
This person says Matt Stryker not getting worse announcer and Sexy Star not getting most overrated tells me how few people watch Lucha Underground now. You're right. It's fallen off a cliff. And you know what? This isn't even pro wrestling, but let me tell you something. For 2 days, I have opened up Wrestling Observer Live. And I've said at some point on this show, we're going to talk about GSP and his return fight with Michael Bisping. And then other things of people have texted about this. They've tweeted about that. They've called about this. Nobody seems to care about this fight. I know it's a big topic of discussion on the MMA programs and on the MMA websites and everything like that. But quite frankly, like when something happens with Conor, it's like everybody's texting and tweeting and writing in and calling about Conor. So it's not like our audience here on this show doesn't care about MMA. They do. But man, nobody is talking about this fight. They don't care. I mean, it's weird that it's just crazy. George St. Pierre is coming back to fight after a year of negotiating and saying he wants to come back and Dana saying he doesn't want to come back and those guys going back and forth. Finally, the dude signs a contract. He's got a contract. He's coming back to UFC. He's going to fight for the championship against Michael Bisping. And it's like nobody cares.
George St. Pierre was a MMA star on the cusp of sports superstardom. And he didn't get there. And you could say for whatever reason that it didn't happen. And the biggest one was he chose to walk away and he's completely fine with that decision. And I'm not, you know, saying anything about that decision other than it did do damage to him and it did do damage to the UFC to a point. But it also shows where the UFC is at right now. And it also shows when it comes to a guy like Conor, how much bigger he is in comparison to everybody else on the roster, including your other quote unquote stars. Like your George St. Pierre's. So we'll have to see where this goes, but not even in the sports world has this really resonated yet. Now, when it comes time for the fight and Bisping starts to talk and the cameras get back on GSP and everybody gets a great sense of well-being because it's hard to be around GSP and not get a good sense of well-being, once all that stuff happens, they're going to be back in the mix again. But until that time occurs...
Dude.
You do know pretty much where they're at. Well, the hype leading
Hold
in
on.
For Bisping GSP is going to be big.
Let me jump in here real quick. First off,
go ahead.
This fella here says, well, the GSP fight doesn't have a date. That's why. No, that's not why.
No,
because I get people texting and calling about Mayweather and Conor, which there's a pretty good chance it's never going to happen. But people are sure talking about that fight all over the place. So it's nothing to do with whether there's a date or not. And by the way, the date's probably July. Now, Tony Ferguson and Khabib.
Great fight.
Like, I was so excited when I heard they were going to do that fight. And I'm like, man, I just can't wait. Dude, the fight's this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The fight's this weekend. Like, they actually have been trash talking. And
I gotta get Picks the Ace, by the way.
There are articles up on the various MMA websites, and I'm sure our website as well, but... Another fight. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody is talking about UFC this year.
And it's not them, it's UFC.
Yeah, that's my point.
I know.
UFC is going the way of NXT. Like, I don't know. It's impossible for UFC to win, like, worst promotion next year because there's going to be a TNA and other promotions as well. And the way TNA is going, it's looking, it ain't going to be winning best promotion next year. But who knows? We can't.
Most apathetic promotion.
Can't predict
can
the future, but... I think that, like, UFC and next year's awards, I think it's going to be way down. Way down. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
You were talking about Stardom a few minutes ago. They're going to have a big seminar camp thing with the ROH people, with the Women of Honor, on the 18th at the Bristol, I think Bristol, Delaware. It's where their dojo is for ROH.
Pennsylvania, and, outside Philly.
Oh, Pennsylvania, okay. All right, what they're going to do, they want the 25 best women, or 25 women, that's all it's going to be, and they're going to be evaluated by the girl from Stardom.
Evaluated, they're going to be, everybody.
And like, and, but the thing about whoever is the best, who is, does the best through the seminar and all that goes on, gets a tour, a Stardom tour that goes from June the 4th to the middle of August.
I'm also putting out a call for 25 women.
But what I'm saying is, does,
yeah, Mike, don't make a mockery of his call. Go ahead, Jim.
Doesn't that look like a lot like ROH is trying to just test the waters of getting a really good women's division going, you know, on ROH TV, on the shows?
Well, I'm sure they want to jump onto the... I mean, there's a lot of great women out there that aren't signed to WWE. Although, Jim, as I thank you for your call, they are very actively working on this WWE Network Women's Tournament. The wheels are in motion. It is going to happen. So for those of you that love your indie women's wrestling, you can see a lot of them on the network coming up here pretty soon. They're starting to put it together and contact people.
NXT, 68 first place votes. Talking Smack and SmackDown Live together had 365 of those votes. I wonder how many of those people voted for NXT last year.
Probably a lot of them. And you know, I'll talk about it after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. That's funny about this whole SmackDown Live best TV show thing.
Mm-hmm.
Said everybody always rants and raves about Vince is out of touch. We got to get rid of Vince. Vince has just lost it. He's got to get rid. This is Vince's show. SmackDown is Vince's show. Granted,
still a crazy old man.
Ryan Ward is working there, and he's very good at his job. But ever since the draft, Vince has been all about SmackDown. And lo and behold, look at how well SmackDown did in the voting this year.
Hey.
And the funny thing is, I am telling you as a fact right now, that if you cut Raw to 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
there's a very good chance Raw would win Best TV Show next year.
Hey, what a difference an hour does make.
It makes a massive difference. A gigantic, massive difference. That's the difference it makes. You hear me? Massive.
And Alexa Bliss.
She does help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of great talent on Raw. In fact, there's more talent on Raw than SmackDown. SmackDown's roster, sometimes it's laughable. You see some of these things they do. Like that Geek Battle Royal they had, it's like, oh my God, they only had to get 10 guys, and there's at least 3 geeks in this Battle Royal, maybe more.
More.
But hey, you have a 2-hour show that's well-written, and lo and behold, everybody likes it. What a shocker. You add a third hour to it, and all the teenage girls get the hell out of there. Everybody else gets mad because the show's too long. We're out of here, everybody. We're here Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Check out the new Observer at WrestlingObserver.com. All of the great content only for subscribers. You will not regret it if you sign up. I promise you that. Head up there and check it out, and we are out of here. Thanks, everybody at Byline. Mike, as always, callers and listeners. Talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network.